This morning we began a study together of the subject of uncompromising faith in a fiery furnace. And we have used as a backdrop for our study the events of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, who were threatened with death if they would not bow down to the image that was erected by Nebuchadnezzar. And for their failure to not bow down to that, the penalty written in law was that they would be cast into a fiery furnace. They refused to bow down to the image. And therefore, we know the story that when they were cast into the fire, that God protected them, no harm came to them, and their life was protected. But what we want to center and focus on was their uncompromising faith, that they would not compromise their values. They would not compromise their relationship with God. They would not compromise their duty and responsibility and the things that they had committed their lives to God, even in the face of death. And then we were discussing how we have similar challenges in our time, that we are under attack and our faith is under attack. And we are always being challenged to compromise our faith, to just give in a little, to just accommodate the thinking of the world that we might get along. And that by just doing that, somehow we think that we can hold on to God and we can hold on to the things that people in the world would have us believe are right and honorable. And so this morning we began by talking about idolatry and the seriousness of idolatry and understanding that spiritual adultery and idolatry is forbidden by God. That is something that's been consistent from the beginning of time. And we looked at the passages in the Old Testament that dealt with idolatry. Then we brought it to the New Testament time in that anything that is placed before God. And we finished this morning by talking about the fear of the Lord. We talked about the respect and the honor and the reverence and the homage that we should have towards God and toward His ways and towards His commandments. And that we must have a healthy fear of the Lord more than we fear the reprisals of men and fear the things that men might say about us or think about us if we're going to stand upon the principles and our faith as we have committed our lives to God. We want to conclude these thoughts this evening by continuing looking at the things that help them have this uncompromising faith. And the third thing they did is that they trusted in their God. They had unwavering commitment and trust in God. In Daniel chapter 3, in verse 17 and 18, in the text of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered the king and said, "If that is the case, then God will deliver us from the fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up." Notice that they were placing their trust in God. It did not matter if their life was taken. They were going to trust God to spare them. But even if He did not spare them, even if they died in the furnace, they were not willing to compromise their faith and their relationship to God, to bow down to an image and commit spiritual adultery. They were willing to die rather than compromise their faith. Why did they have such determination? It's because they trusted the God that they served. They trusted that no matter what happened, no matter what course that their decision would take, whether it meant life or death, it did not matter because they trusted God would make it come out right in the end. And so we know that we have to have that kind of trust and unwavering faith in God and that He will take care of us. We know that God will do what He says. We have no doubt that whatever God has told us, He well can deliver on what He promises. To use this as an example, turn to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, and let's look at verse 19 through 21. "And being weak in the faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but were strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You see, this has to do with the man Abraham, the great patriarch Abraham. He was promised a son. He was promised an heir that would be the beginning of the nation of Israel. And to 100 years old, he was childless. And yet God promised him a son. And even though he was 100, Sarah was 90, he did not waver in his faith. He trusted God that what he was able to promise, he was able to deliver. In Acts chapter 27 and verse number 25. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 25, talking about Paul. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told to me. What Paul is talking about is he is on a ship and they are doomed to be shipwrecked. And the ship is going to be destroyed. But God has promised him that he will stand in Rome, and he will be a witness for God in Rome. And he also assured Paul that everyone that was in the ship, with life would be spared, and none would die. And even though it looked bleak, even though it looked hopeless, even though it looked like they were surely to die, he trusted God. He believed that God would do what he promised. We also read in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this has to do with the song that we just sang a few moments ago. In knowing whom we have believed. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul makes this statement. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. You see, Paul had unwavering trust in God. He did not doubt whatever he would experience in life, whatever the road of life would take him, and we know it eventually took his life for his faith in Christ, but it did not matter, for he trusted in the Lord that it would work out right for him in the end. And so this unwavering trust is something that men have exhibited in their unwillingness to compromise their faith. Therefore, those who trust the Lord will remain pure. We will remain pure. We will remain committed. And we will do exactly what God has told us to do, what He's expected us to do, what He's commanded us to do. And no matter what direction the world goes, no matter what pressure is brought against us, no matter what things and challenges are presented to us, we're going to stay the course. We're going to stay committed. We're not going to compromise our values. We're not going to compromise our faith. And we're not going to compromise our belief in God and in His Word. We're going to remain to trust God in all things. Now, if, and this is a big if we are not grounded in God's Word, we are unprepared to resist compromise. You know what the Bible says in Romans 10:17? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hosea made the conclusion many centuries ago that God's people had been destroyed for lack of knowledge. One of the reasons that men and women fail to trust God as fully as they should is they do not have a real keen knowledge of the power and the might and the trust that they should have in the person that they serve. You see, I read the Bible stories. I study biblical history. And all of them tell me that those who remain faithful to God, in the end, they won. In every case, what God promised, either good or bad, whatever God promised to do, God did exactly what He promised. And that knowledge should help me that when I face a hill in my life, when there is a difficulty in my life, when there is something that is an obstacle that is placed in my way, something that can discourage me, something that can put me off course, something that can lead me astray, something that's trying to get me to compromise my faith, I should put my trust fully and completely and confidently in the Lord, because He will see me through. I cannot be defeated. I cannot be overwhelmed. And I cannot lose what He has promised if I will trust Him. If I will prepare myself for the times when my faith will be tested. Brethren, in a number of ways, while we travel the uneven pathway of life, our faith is going to be tested. We are going to get challenges in our life that we're going to solely know nothing else but to trust God to get us through. I have had times in my life where I did not know to turn to the right or to the left. I did not know where to go. I did not know what to do. I did not know how I was going to cope with the situation I found myself in. Sometimes I found myself in it because of bad decisions I made. Sometimes I found myself in it because of things that happened that I have no control over. But be that as it may, I needed direction. I needed hope. And the thing that saw me through those times is when I took it out of my hands and I put it in God's hands. Now that didn't take the problem away. That didn't take the obstacle away. That didn't take the difficulty that was ahead of me away. But what it did do is it encouraged me that I was not going to go through this alone. That I was not going to have to fight this battle by myself. And that God would help me whatever way it went. God would make sure that it didn't destroy my faith and didn't destroy my relationship with God. And I can tell you from personal experience that this works. That if you will trust God for what you don't understand, for what you do not want to go through, for what you do not want to have to deal with, but you must because you're in this situation. Now, I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would rather be someone else than in Babylon. I'm sure they'd rather be somewhere else than what they were, standing before a king that's about to throw them in a fiery furnace, but be that as it may, that's where they were at. They had to make a choice. They chose to trust God. Can we do that? Can we choose to put our trust in God? To let Him help us. To let Him help us overcome whatever is trying to derail our faith and trying to get us to compromise our relationship with God. My dear brother and sister, you're going to come to this crossroad in your life. This is going to happen to every one of you. If it has not happened already, it will happen. It is part of life. It is part of the experience that we go through in life. And so we must make a determination that no matter what happens, no matter what we have to deal with, I am going to trust the Lord to take me through it and let me overcome it. That's when my faith will not be compromised. But something else helped them. Not only resisting idolatry, not only having a healthy fear of the Lord, not only trusting God, but they also understood, they experienced previous victories over temptation. You see, they had come through other things. They had had other battles. They had other difficulties, and they had come through those. So what should that have done? That should have strengthened their faith. That should have strengthened their resolve to stay committed to God. They refused to defile themselves with the king's food. Remember what we read this morning? They refused to violate the law of God even in captivity. And because they kept their faith, God blessed them. Their countenance was better than the others. They did not suffer any repercussion. Why? Because they fully trusted God. You see, what that did is it made the next mountain a little bit easier to deal with. Because He helped you through this one, gives you great confidence that it'll help you deal with the next one. Those who are faithful in little matters will be faithful in larger matters. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 and 11. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true, to your trust, the true riches? Now think about that for a moment. In this life, we have to deal with physical things. We have to deal with temporal problems. We have to deal with temporal issues. We have to deal with things that cause trial and tribulation in our life. But these are physical things. These are temporal things. These are things that have a beginning and they have an ending. And so there are struggles that we will endure. But we need to understand that how is God going to turn over the true riches that He's promised all that love Him, all that are faithful to Him? How is He going to turn those spiritual truths over to us? How is He going to turn those spiritual riches over to us when we were not trusting enough to deal with the temporal things that we dealt with in this life? You see, I am perplexed that men and women believe, and I'm not just talking about people on the outside, I'm talking about men and women in the Lord's church who will not even deal with the temporal difficulties, with the little things that God causes us to deal with in this life, and yet we're too busy, we're too stubborn, and we're willing to try to go it alone, but then in the end, think that God's just going to hand us over heaven and all of His glory and all of His splendor and all of the blessings when we couldn't even deal with the little things that we had to deal with here. How do you reconcile that? How does one in their mind believe that God's going to make such an exchange? God's not going to make such an exchange. You know, when I was a little boy, I remember preachers used to get in the pulpit and they used to say, life is a proving ground. You know, I admit when I was younger, I didn't really think too much about that. But you know, the older I get, the more and more I understand the truth of what they said. You see, this is a trial run. This is a trial run. We are demonstrating to God how much we want to go to heaven. How much we love Him. How much we trust Him. How much we are committed to Him. And how much we are willing to do whatever lies before us in order to achieve and receive what He has promised us. And you see, life is a test. Life is a test of whether or not we are willing to truly trust God. You know what? It's easy to trust God when it's good. Isn't it? When things are going right in your life, no problems, no obstacles, health is good, your financial situation is good, your home life is good, it's pretty easy to trust God then, isn't it? But what about when that stuff starts going wrong? When my health starts to fail? When my family doesn't do everything exactly the way I want them to? When the job and security of the job, it may be hanging in the balance. Do I still trust God enough? Am I still willing to trust Him that He'll see me through whatever difficulty I have? You see, what we need to remember and what we need to try to focus on is that every trial we had in our life, if we are completely honest, if we are completely honest with ourselves, God saw us through that, didn't He? It didn't destroy us. It didn't destroy us. It didn't destroy my faith. It didn't destroy me, did it? I got through it. I lived through it. And I learned by it. Doesn't that teach me something? Doesn't that cause me to even want to more and more know that I can trust God with my life? I believe that's what God expects it to do. He says, how can we face the big battles if we don't win the smaller ones? Is it beyond your understanding that if you can't stand the small battles, you're going to cave in when they get larger. But you know what those smaller battles are doing? They are building your faith. They are strengthening your faith. They are strengthening your commitment. They are strengthening your trust, your confidence, and your unwavering, compromising faith that through life you're going to trust God before you trust anything else. You see, trials will come. You know, that's why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, tells young people to seek the Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and your heart has no desire in those things. You know, that's why the younger you are and the more that you learn to trust God, the better and easier your life's going to be. You see, because if you learn to trust Him, if you make Him part of your life when you're young, and you take Him with you every step of the way, through every obstacle, through every difficulty, and you let Him help you, you trust Him, you depend upon Him. He is your strength, He is your source. When you build your life around that, nothing in life will ever destroy your faith. Nothing will ever challenge you enough to compromise your faith. Nothing can do that. Trials can't do that. Difficulties in life can't do that. The only thing that can do that is we lose our trust and our love for God. You see, we need to understand that every battle we win prepares us for the next one. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. I want you to look at this verse. Notice, when he has been approved. What does that mean? When he has been approved. You know what that means? That means when we have passed the test. That means when we have endured the struggle. That means when we have endured the temptation and we have not yielded, we have resisted it. We have endured it. We have overcome. What does the Bible say will happen? Then he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love Him. You know what? Nobody is going to get by heaven by accident. And they're not going to get there by the skin of their teeth. And they're not going to get there because God overlooked something in their life. Every person that receives heaven is going to be one that had unwavering, uncompromising, full trust, full confidence, full commitment to God, and did not allow anything in life to ever derail that confidence, that faith, and that trust. And every battle that you face, every mountain that you climb, every difficulty that you get through should strengthen your resolve in two things. Number one, how frail we really are and how much we need God every day and every hour. I think life has taught us that we're not going to get through it without God. I think if we are fully honest and we are fully accepting of truth, that we know that there are things that we face in this life that you cannot face them without God. You know what? We just went through a period that should teach us that. The month of May was a hard month, wasn't it? We lost people we loved one after another. And we had to watch families struggle with the loss of people who are near and dear to them. How do you face those trials? How do you face those dark moments in your life without God? How do you comfort people who are going through a trial of losing someone that they've been part of their life for over 50 years? How do you do it without God? I'm here to tell you, you can't do it without God. You know, people that try to do it without God, they don't make it. That's why they turn to other things. That's why they become depressed. That's why they become discouraged. That's why they give up in life. Experience has taught me that this world can deal you a pretty cruel hand, but it cannot defeat you unless you help it out. I'm glad to see a new month. May is a month I did not enjoy very much. But you know what? May also taught me that I need God. And God didn't let me down. I got through it. We got through it. And the people who are dealing with it, they will get through it. Because they trust God. And you know what it will do for you? It will help you when you come to this problem in your life. And my friend, we're going to come to it. We're going to come and part in our life when we're going to have to deal with something that we would rather not deal with. That we wish it was somebody else experience it other than me. But you know what? God will see me through that. God will carry me through that. God will see me through that. And I know that that will strengthen me for when it happens to me. You see, every little battle we win is preparing us for the greater battle that is ahead. So maybe you're wondering, when does the battle end? When you draw your last breath. Then your battle ends. But until that time, every victory you win will help you for the victories and the challenges that are ahead. But there's something else. And really, it was probably the thing that most focused their unwillingness to compromise their faith. And that was their undeniable courage that whatever they had to experience, whatever happened to them, would be worth it if they held true to God. You see, notice the results of their refusal to compromise. Let me ask you a question. Did Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, did they have any previous communication from God that He would not allow their life to be taken in the furnace? Did God promise them that? No, remember what He said? Even if we're not delivered, even if we die, we are not compromising our faith. You see, they had no assurance that God would protect them and the fire would never harm them and that they would walk out of the furnace. They did not know that going in. But it did not matter, did it? It did not matter, did it? And they were rewarded for their uncompromising faith by their life being spared by God. God saved them. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar saw? Didn't we tie them up when we put them in there? And how many people did we cast in there? Three, but I see four. God saved them. They convinced Nebuchadnezzar. Read verse 26 through 29. He was convinced, he made a proclamation that no one could speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nobody can stand opposed to Him. That God is a God that delivers. Now, I'm under no illusion that he became a believer at that moment. I believe later on that he did. But I believe at this point he's still not a true believer, but he can't deny the facts, can he? Here's the king binding them up, thinking he has the power, he has the control to take their life, and someone is greater than him in the throne, and he can't do anything but acknowledge that. Nebuchadnezzar exalted them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were given greater positions in his government for their uncompromising faith. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how men and women who stole time and again in their life to be very faithful, very determined, and to be very committed to God and unwavering, have you ever noticed how things seem to go well for men like that? I wonder why that happens. I wonder if that's just a coincidence. I wonder how Joseph raised to be second in command of all of Egypt, starting out being in a pit, sold by his brothers into slavery, and ends up in the second in command in Egypt. How does Daniel end up in third in command in Babylon, in captivity, as a foreigner in the third person in line to the throne. How'd that happen? You know how it happened? Because Daniel and Joseph were men of faith. Men that had unwavering commitment to God. Men that would not compromise their values, their commitments, and their loyalty to God. Now other men had the same kind of commitment, but didn't work out as well. Remember Stephen? He had that kind of commitment. He had that kind of loyalty, but his life was taken. But he didn't waver either, did he? He didn't flinch, did he? He did exactly what God expected him to do. You see, it doesn't matter. For the person who is really committed to God, it doesn't matter how it goes. Because if I'm faithful, it's going to go well for me. Even if my life is taken, if I never compromise my faith, if I never waver, if I stay committed, even if I die, I win. I win. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about gaining that crown, isn't it? Isn't that why we serve God? Isn't that why we love God for what He's done for us and what He's promised us? Isn't that why we commit our lives to Him for the life that He gives us, for the blessings He bestows upon us, and for the promises that He's promised us? Isn't that why we're Christians? You see, we need to understand that it's worth it. The faithful will receive a crown of life. God said it, I believe it, that's the end of it. If I'm faithful, I'll get that crown. And you remember Paul sitting in a prison for the second time, and his life just about over. And he knew that his sojourning was coming to an end. And he knew that all the things that he had done for Christ. And you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you look at all the things that he experienced for his faith and his unwavering commitment to God. He suffered much. But did he think it was worth it? Did he have any regrets? Was he looking back over his life with remorse because of what happened to him? Listen to his own words in 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. You see what Paul is saying? Take my life, it doesn't matter. If I never get out of this cell, it doesn't matter. If I don't see another day in life, it doesn't matter. If I don't get out of this alive, it doesn't matter. Because I want something better. I've got something greater to go to. I've got something that is better. How can you have that kind of confidence? How can you have that kind of looking at your life, knowing that it's about to end, knowing that you're going to be put to death for something that you did not do wrong, but yet you go willingly? You know why? Because you trust God without reservation. You see, he knew that it was worth it. He knew that whatever he experienced was worth it. And you see, eternal life, if we patiently continue to do good and seek for glory and honor and immortality, we will receive it. God promised us. And there's no such thing as accidental salvation. You're not going to get there by accident. I'm not going to get there by accident. If I receive heaven, if you receive heaven, you will have understood your responsibility to God while you lived here, and you will have faithfully executed your responsibility to God, and He will reward you. But ladies and gentlemen, the devil and his adversaries are doing everything that is possible in our life, in our world, to cause us to not believe God and to compromise our faith and our trust in Him. Will we cave in to the pressure? Will we cave in to the challenge? And will we begin to waver and not believe God and believe more in ourselves. You know, these four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were four men of uncompromising faith and courage. But let me tell you something. They're not any different than you and me. They had a different challenge than we have. They lived in a different time than we do. But they had the same challenge that you and I do. They had the same commitment to God that we should have. And they have the same promises to God that we have. They had their challenge. They had their test. They passed it. What about us? Will we answer the bell? Will we face the challenge? Will we be unwavering in our commitment to God? Will we be steadfast in our resolve to trust God above all else? And will we be fully committed to never compromise our faith or our relationship with God? Let come what may. Where did these men get the strength to defy a king? Where did they muster the strength to stand in opposition to a king, look in the fiery furnace, right in the mouth of the furnace, knowing that that's where their end would be? Where did they muster the strength to say, "No, we will not submit"? Where did they get their strength? They got it from God. But they had to stand, didn't they? They had to stand. They had to do it. And what we should do is we also live in a world that encourages compromise. Can we consistently resist the temptation to surrender our faith? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a real threat to our faith. You look at what's going around us in this world. You look at how one by one we are being faced with one challenge after another to try to deny God, to try to deny His existence, to try to deny His creation, to try to deny His authority, to try to deny that there is accountability, and to deny that there is consequence for failure. We have it everywhere all around us. Everything is trying to get us to cave in, to say that we compromise, we give just a little. Let me ask you a question. Where would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego been if they compromised a little? Where would Daniel be if he compromised a little? Where would Paul be if he compromised a little? You know the answer to that. And I know the answer to that. And you see, I would like to think that things in this world will get better. But I'm not counting on it. Because man is stubborn. And man is too wrapped up in man to consider God. But, we live in this world. We're going to be subjected to these threats. We're going to be subjected to this pressure. We're going to be subjected to these challenges. And we're going to be subjected that we would compromise our faith, our values, and our commitment to God. And we will face our own fiery furnace. But it won't be in Babylon. It'll be in hell itself. How will we answer the challenge? How will we face the difficulty? Will we pass our test? Will we answer the call? Will we do what these men did? Will we understand the seriousness of our idolatry? And will we not place anything in more importance and ahead of God in our life? Will we have a healthy fear of the Lord? Will we respect Him? Will we reverence Him? Will we honor Him? Will we glorify Him? And all you have to do that is be obedient to Him. Be faithful to Him. Will we trust Him? Explicitly, unwavering, unconditionally, no matter what come what may, we'll put our hands in God's hand and we'll do whatever it takes. Do we have that kind of trust? And will we grow spiritually? And will we understand that whatever we suffer, whatever we experience, whatever comes our lot, if we remain uncompromising in our faith, it will be worth it. You know what I know more than I know anything else? There is not going to be one man or woman who receives heaven that will ever regret one thing that they ever experienced in this life. Not one. But on the other side of that coin, there will be much regret. There will be much sorrow for any soul that began on the right track and compromised their faith to the cost of their eternal soul in hellfire. There will be regret that you can never ever end. It will be called torment. And if you think, and if you believe, that your faith is not under attack, and that you're not being called to compromise, and that you're not being challenged, then, ladies and gentlemen, it's later than you think. Because you are being challenged. You are being tried. And Satan is trying to get you to cave in. Why do we have these stories of the Old Testament? Why do we read about these men and women of faith? Why do we read about their commitment, their diligence, their unwavering capacity to stand with God against all challenges? Why did God place them in His book? They were placed to strengthen us, to encourage us, to teach us, to guide us, to help us, that when we come to these mountains and challenges in our time, in our life, that we will have the same faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had when they told King Nebuchadnezzar, "We will not bow to the image. You cast us in the fire. Whatever happens, we will experience it. But we will not compromise our faith." If we want this country that we live in to ever turn around and go back in the direction that it once traveled, it's going to take men and women of faith. Men and women that will stand their ground. Men and women that won't cave in. Men and women that won't compromise. And men and women that will be proud to stand where God wants us to stand. Even if I stand alone. Do you think you can make a difference? Oh, we can make a difference. But we have been conditioned to believe that we can't. And we have allowed the minority to challenge us that we are already defeated. God says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Remember, I close this lesson with the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8. And in verse number 35, they seem very applicable to what we're talking about. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 35, Paul asked a rhetorical question. He says in that letter, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he lists some things. But let me ask you a question tonight in closing. Who can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing unless you allow it to. If you're here and you're not a child of God, then you need to refocus and you need to take a good look at your life. And you need to see that you are fighting a battle that is unwinnable as long as you stand in that battle alone. The reason you need God is that you're in a fight. And the reason that you need God is He's the only one that can guarantee you victory in this fight. Because one of the greatest adversaries in your fight is sin. And sin must be dealt with in order for you to win the battle. And you can't win the battle of sin without the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you must be obedient to the gospel. You must believe the things that you've heard. You must believe the things that you've read. And you must have this unwavering, uncompromising faith in God. And then you must let that faith motivate you to repent of your past sin. to turn away from it and turn towards God and to confess allegiance to Him by confessing that you believe that He is the Son of God. He is the Lord, and you are willing to put your hand in His hand, and you're willing to be faithful to Him to the best of your ability. And then you submit to baptism to contact the blood of Christ that He might wash away every sin that you have committed, that you might arise to walk in newness of life. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. God has promised that when we come up out of the water, we will be redeemed, we will be forgiven, and we will be sanctified and justified. But many of you have already done that. You're already on the road. You've already done that. You're already in the family of God. How are you doing with the challenges that the world is laying at your feet? Have you compromised your faith? Have you wavered a little? Have you gone backwards instead of going forward? You need to rededicate yourself, recommit yourself, and you need to ask God to help you and strengthen you and forgive you if you've taken a wrong step. You know, I've told you many, many times, sin is not a tragedy. Sin is a mistake, but mistakes can be rectified in life. If we will acknowledge Him, turn from them, pray and ask for forgiveness, God has promised He will forgive us. If we can help you have this uncompromising faith tonight, we stand ready to assist you. As together we stand and as we sing.